Amen. Thank you, Miss Christine. Take your Bibles this morning and go to the book of Job, if you would. Job 24. Job 24, and our time is limited this morning, but I want to thank again everyone that has come to be a part. And I'll say that this morning is going to be different, not different because we're still preaching out of the same book. Amen. We're still in God's house. We still love the Lord and we'll lift him up today. But today, I'll be preaching mainly to these young people in front of me. It's baccalaureate service, and one of mine sits down here this morning, and I can't help but get a little sentimental with the group that's here. I've known them all for a while. And man, you've been here a while and been with us, and you know, I know that every one of you have such great potential. Amen. To make your mark on the world, not for yourself, but for the Lord Jesus Christ. The great danger of gifts is to spend the gifts that God has given you upon yourself. Now, today, I will say this, and what God's given me, it's going to be a little unorthodox for a Sunday morning service. And it is not for show, but for remembrance for our seniors. And so I will be asking for audience participation this morning. And if I ask you to, if you're able, when we're able to, and I ask if you would stand later on, but I want to read the text this morning. But more than that, my heart is heavy with some things that have come through and that I know they're going on, and I need to pray right now, not only for the message and for our seniors, but for Jeremy Tedino. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Come to you today, I beg you, God, for Jeremy, that you'd heal him, God, that you'd, if it be your will, God, this morning, that you'd change what seems to be certain. I pray, God, that you would just reach down and that you'd answer the prayers of your people and that you'd heal him and let him go home to his family, God. God, I ask you today that as we open your word, that God, that these seniors would hear the word of God like they've never heard it before. That today, that it would be a remembrance upon their mind and upon their heart, that throughout their lives, that they would hold to the landmarks that we have given them here at our Christian school. God, I pray that it wouldn't be like any other Sunday morning for them, and it wouldn't just roll by, but now as they sit in a graduation gown, God, that they would have and hold to the marks that they've been taught for the rest of their lives. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The message title for the tape room and for you seniors, if you're going to take notes, I will ask you, don't go to sleep on me because I'm going to ask some things of you, so you need to be awake. Amen. Hold to the landmarks of allegiance. Hold to the landmarks of allegiance. In our school, we teach young people here not just reading, writing, and arithmetic. And the word landmark is not flippantly used here. It is for a foundational marker that you can hold to throughout your life. The three things I'll be preaching on today, and I'll go on and give you the points, and then we'll get after it, amen, is the landmark of patriotism. Being a patriot. Even our school is marked by patriots. We use it as our mascot, not flippantly, but by choice, because we believe it is something in this nation that we desperately need to train up in the way that they should go, is those that would be patriotic, who would love our country and give their lives for it. Second of all, it would be the pinnacle landmark of being a Christian. Not flippantly using the title Christian, but being Christ-like. And then the Word of God. This landmark of the Word of God, everything that we hold to, even patriotism, I believe goes back to this book. Our faith is found in this book. This book will be the lamp and the light unto your feet on your path if you choose it to be. Everything that we know and everything that we've taught you, the sole authority of faith and practice of our lives is found in the Word of God. So the scripture today that I've chosen is in Job. Ask a question, not just of our seniors, but of all those that are here today, you could ask yourself this question: why seeing times, in verse 1 of chapter 24, why seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty? Do they that know Him not see His days? Let me read the verse again so it can sink in. Why seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty? Do they that know Him not see His days? Then the second verse. Some remove the landmarks. They violently take away flocks and the feed thereof. The scripture today is very apparent. I hope that you know enough about the Word of God to realize that God is not blind. God can see not only He is not limited by time, but He sees the times that you and I live in. He has seen and set time in order, and He knows when time will end and it will be ended. But God has days appointed throughout history and in the future. Days that were God's days. You guys have learned about it. You know the day that Jesus Christ was born in the fullness of times, the scripture says. There are appointed days that happen. This is an appointed day of baccalaureate for you. There'll be an appointed graduation time that was set way back at kindergarten when you walked across the stage and you could mark that 2021. You had no idea that COVID would come about and that it would wreck some things that went on in your life. But again, thankfully, you've come to a place where now you sit in front of the preacher. Going to be, if you do right and don't mess around with Brother Burt's office, the graduate of Landmark Christian School. Amen. Amen. You pull the wrong prank and you may not have a diploma in there. Amen. But let me ask you this. So you've been raised here and you learn the Bible and you realize that God is almighty, that He sees everything that's going on in the world of men, that He's appointed days and one in which we call the rapture that He will return for the church and the saved. Why seeing the times? Why seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty? Do they know Him? Look, that know Him not see His days? Why is it that we come to church again and we don't realize that today could be the last day? Today could be the last Sunday. That 4 years are appointed for college, and some of you are going to different routes and different things, but knowing the Almighty, you know that you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You know that Jesus could come back at any moment, and choosing the future of your life at this point, this pivotal point in your life, this is something that is going to determine your destiny. Let me say this. I've given you some of the message, but I want you to see this in verse 2. Some remove the landmarks. Even in the last year, you can see that there are some that still continue to try to remove the landmarks. It speaks of they that they violently take away flocks. The church is referred to as a flock. The pastor is referred to as an under-shepherd, and Jesus is the head or the shepherd of His church. And the world, the flesh, and the devil are working hard to take away the flocks. With a illness that has come upon the land, all of a sudden, why instead of flocking to the church did people run away? Why, rather than seeing that God and religion or the Bible are paramount or essential, did people flee? Because they didn't just want to shut up the church, but where the church gets, they wanted to shut all kinds of things down. And even the Bible goes farther and says, and the feed thereof. There has been work throughout the ages to people to both water down the food of the church or the flock, to tear it down and to water down the Word of God. Listen, one of the paramount things, and I can't wait to preach down the road on point number 3, don't ever forget that the King James Bible is the pure Word of God. Amen. Don't ever get to a place where you tear down the landmark of the Bible in your life. Not just that it's a standard or something that you need to live by, but that it is the very Word of God. Amen. Don't settle for anything less. Do this for me. Point number one, I want to say this. Don't tear down the landmark of being a patriot in your life. Because you have spent so many years of your life pledging allegiance to it. I want you to stand. Everybody in the house, if you would stand. Let's pledge allegiance to our flag. Hand on your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated. Let me say this to not only the seniors, but all that are present. I believe that a patriot is someone who pledges his allegiance to his flag. Not somebody that will kneel down, burn it, or just trample it underfoot. I believe that we deservingly have the freedoms from the blood of others who have purchased it for you and me. I believe that for you seniors to go out of here after being a patriot of the Landmark Christian School and knowing what it truly means to be an American and have to pledge your allegiance week after week after week to go out and to listen to some old professor or dry dust and then kneel down in front of the flag because of public opinion. Amen. Don't you do that. Don't you tear that landmark down out of your life. You stand for what you've been taught. You stand for the country that you love. To pledge allegiance means to bind yourself. Not only to, you could bind yourself to a person in marriage, but to a cause. And this flag right here has a cause. It has always stood for the cause of freedom. It has always stood for life and liberty to all who believe. You say, really? Yeah, where do you think that they got those words, liberty and life? You think that they just thought it up themselves? No, the founders, and you've been taught this in our school, that they stood upon this book. Amen. And that this country was founded, and that document that we hold dear, the Constitution of these United States and the Republic, that it guarantees to you and I not some democracy or socialism or communism, but the Republic, that we are guaranteed by the government, that Republic that we believe in and we pledge our allegiance to, was founded upon a document that is founded upon the Word of God. Amen. Don't tear down. Don't let anybody else tear down the landmarks that have been built up in your life. Your parents have invested in you and brought you to a place that would teach you the good Word of God. Teach you good values about your nation and about your history. You, outside of the walls of our Christian schools, they teach a different history. They teach one that's not just watered down, but corrupted. They tear down those early pilgrims that came here to worship freely. They make everyone who expanded and loved on people, they make them bigots and people who just ran across the country killing people. No, no, no. Those are our foundational people that went and went out. And just like that, sometimes they had to defend themselves.
Amen.
Don't listen to everything the world tells you. Don't let them tear. Why in the world would you go out of this place and drink in the world's, can I say this, poison? I believe that the patriots, what's a patriot to me? It's a God-fearing, flag-waving, country-loving, gender-sure, amen, fake president-hating, constitution-believing, American who will stand up and bleed and die if need be for their country. Someone who would pledge allegiance and mean it. Not pledge allegiance and then tomorrow change their view of what this flag stands for. I'm going to be honest with you. I've seen a lot of people over the last few years and they have been glorified rather than demonized for those that would kneel. There is no reason. This flag stands for freedom around the world. We have sent men to nations around the world, and we have spent the lives of our soldiers to purchase freedom for others who simply ask for our help. And to kneel down because a group of people in our country are being oppressed to what that flag stands for is wicked. And I'll go farther and say demonic. It is an oppression because that flag stands for freedom. I just want to tell you today, I'm glad to be a patriot. Not just of the Landmark Christian School, not just somebody that's here and at Landmark, but I'm glad to be an American. Some that are in this building today, you weren't born here, but you're glad to be here. Can I just say that as a preacher, I'm thankful to be here in this country. I'm thankful that I can stand and preach about my country and that I can have honor. I know that she's young. I know that she's made mistakes, but I'm still proud of her, and I'll pledge my allegiance and die for her if I need be. Hey, seniors, you've pledged allegiance all your life to the flag of these United States. Why, with few words and no love, would you abandon that? Why would you ever turn to a group of people and listen to them as professors or peers and let that popularity even sway you from being a patriot? Why would you do that? Second of all, stand with me if you would. Let's pledge allegiance to the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. You may be seated. Christian, the flag that stands for Christianity to be Christ-like, even in its words, talks about our Savior and His return. I wish to tell you today that there are people out here that are trying to change the times, and there are. I wish to tell you that wasn't true, that there isn't a group of people, but those that call themselves Christian are not always so. There are colleges and places that you could spend your time that call themselves Christian that aren't much of one. There are places that call themselves, they even taken Baptist and Christian out of their name because of the things that they allow on their campus or the money that they take from the state. I'll go on and say it to all you parents that sit out here today. Beware of where you send your children. And you better watch, even if you send them out, it may be the will of God that they go to one of those places, but you better watch and pray that they don't tear down the landmarks that they pledged allegiance to all their lives. They're going to go out into a battlefield. We've done our best, seniors, to prepare you for this battle. Many of you think that you have reached some of the heights or some of the hardest trials that you've ever faced because you've passed some classes. Some of you have even taken college classes and done well. But that's not the pinnacle of your existence. Wait until you're the leader. See, you've been a leader in your Christian school, and some of you, when you look back on it in your years, some of the things that you said or the way that you led, you would be dishonored for in your own mind and heart. Some of the things that you said, but I'm glad that this group, and I can say this to all those that are here, this is probably the largest group of leaders that we've graduated in a long time. This group is not, no one is an island to themselves. You ladies are leaders to different groups in our school and to people in our teen group. You men, each one, leaders in your own way, in your own right. And you'll choose whatever you do with your life, and you will go out from here and take the leadership abilities and things that are God-given and go out and lead other people. What direction are you going to lead them in? Are you going to lead them for the cause of Christ? Will you lead them to the Savior that died for your soul? Who paid for your eternal destiny that you've accepted as I mean, I'm going to go to heaven not because of what I did, but because of what He did. Amen. Will your life be spent? Will your thoughts be thought about Christ and your likeness towards Him? Will your pursuit of God continue when you leave this place? Will you grow in your Christian faith, or will you lay it down and walk on? These are the questions you have to answer yourself, and this is a pinnacle moment of decision because you're not just at a crossroads, you are at a place of getting on the highway of life. You will jump on it at this and exit, and you'll find yourself in your late 20s and maybe 30s married to someone and wonder how you got there. If God tarries his coming, you'll find yourself and go, how in the world did I get to this place? Or you will say, thank God that I held firm to the landmarks that I was taught at Landmark Christian School. I'm thankful that I gripped hold of the patriotism that I was taught, that I stuck to those things that I was taught, that I'm a Christian, that I held to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Amen. That I'm a better Christian today than I was when I was a senior and Pastor Parsons preached to me to hold to the landmarks of allegiance. You've pledged allegiance to this flag over and over again. And this is just a piece of cloth. Many of you said it over and over again, flippantly, standing at attention. Not the way you pledged to this flag. This flag, before games, you stood as they played the national anthem. You felt pride run through you as they sang the national anthem, because that's something you're a part of. But you have never, listen to me, I want you to hear me and hear me good. You must identify with the Savior with the same love. When you come and you hear Jesus preach, does it run through you like when you hear the Pledge of Allegiance? Does it run through your feet and your toes and everything that you are, that someone left heaven that didn't have to and laid his life down and paid for your sins so that you could have a home in heaven? Do you realize that you're bought with a price? That somebody bought you back when you weren't worth anything? You come to this place as a senior and you will step up here, and many of you will be honored as valedictorian and a salutatorian and with honors and all those things. But all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before Jesus Christ. There's no honor in being a sinner, but being saved by grace. It's the only honor that we have. To bring him glory in this life, it's the only true honor. Hey, I know where we're at. We're in a church that loves you. You're talking to a pastor that loves you. Many of you have spent time at my house. Many of you have spent time around me. And I have prayed for you. Our teachers in the building today care about you desperately. Many of you think, oh, that's just because they get paid to. No. No, we love you. And more than anything, we don't want you to take your life. I want a happy life for you. I want you to have a good life and see good days in the future. I want, if Jesus tarries his coming, I want you to live a life that you will stand one day before the Lord Jesus and you'll hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm not saying that's a preacher. This room is full of people who love Jesus Christ. Some of them are carpenters. Some of them are plumbers, some work AC, some do dirt work. The room is full of people that love Jesus Christ and have come here on Sundays and drove a bus. Come here on Sundays and teach Sunday school. This place is full of people who have invested their lives in the cause of Christ. They make money and they tithe to God's house. I'm not talking about being a preacher or a preacher's wife. I'm talking about somebody who will be Christ-like and say, God, this is your life. I want to do your will with it. Where do you want me to walk? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to give the missions? What do you want me to give my life for? What did you make me for, God? Let me do that with my life. The Christ that came and paid for your sin is deserving of nothing less than that. The Christ that will judge you one day at the judgment seat of Christ is worth nothing less than that. Lastly, the Bible. Stand with me if you would, folks. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You may be seated. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And that is true But where you are in your life, where you live today, what you desperately need is exactly what you pledge allegiance to your whole life. A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you follow the commandments and the direction of the Word of God, it will always lead you to His will. You will always find yourself exactly where God intended you when you shine the lamp of His Word upon your choices, on the feet. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And ladies, folks, I'm just here to tell you, this book right here, this is a supernatural book. It changed my life. Every day, it encourages me. So many years, this is my greatest fear. You spent so many years seeing this as a textbook that you don't see it as God's book. That you don't see it as a roadmap for your life. You've heard it preached so much that it's perfect, but it's like it's one of these flags. When you pledge allegiance to this, it's different. This is a living, breathing book. It's not like one of these flags. These flags represent a cause or a person. This book is alive. It's not like one of these flags. It's one that you carry with you, not just in your heart, but every day. You hide its words in your heart that you don't sin against an almighty God. You've heard that over and over again, but you've pledged allegiance to it. But did you really mean it? Did you pledge allegiance to make this the lamp of your life? The lamp that would light your steps and direct your path? Let me ask you about the decisions that you've made even for the next step in your life. Did you make that decision by opening the Word of God and shining the light upon the next step of your life? Did you find it in the Word of God and go, yes, I've confirmed this is what God has for me. This is what He wants. Being Christ-like is important. It's one of the ways that others see Christ in you and they turn to Christ. This American flag and being a patriot is paramount to many of us and foundational to who we are in this country. But this book will be your companion for the rest of your life if you serve God. This book will be the one when the things of life that happen unthinkable things will come into this life. Things like COVID, things like losing a loved one, some like a friend that takes their own life. The only book that can reach into your soul and comfort the comfortless is the Word of God. The only one, and you hear me, when you come to an age where you are the leader and there's nobody left to lead you but you, this book will lead your steps. This book will keep you by the landmarks. When you are the dad and you are the mom, this book will guide you. This book will keep you. This book will give you peace that you are on the right track for the rest of your life. Christ-like. This book, this landmark could be torn down by the world and we can stand as a Christian. That landmark, they can't kill Jesus Christ. They tried it once and He just stood up again, never to go down again. But this landmark is one you better take with you. This is one that you better never let go of. Hey church, this is a landmark that you need. Not just on Sunday morning. Not one just to dust off to take it to church. But one that you desperately need to live your life in. One that you need to shine on every step, every decision, and every path that you're going to go down. You better follow the Word of God. This morning, you've heard me preach over and over again about Jesus. But in a room this size, and maybe even amongst our seniors, I believe all of you have made a public profession of faith in that you know that Jesus is your Savior. But if you don't know Him, today is the day to get saved. Just because you're down here and you're graduating high school don't mean that you know Jesus as your Savior. Just because you came here today and you went through the Christian school doesn't mean, just because you pledged your allegiance to the Bible doesn't mean that you have believed in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. I hope you believe today. I hope you've already trusted him. But today, don't worry about what all these other people think. I'm preaching to you. This is you and me. This is between you and God, your salvation. If you don't have it settled, get it settled today. Settle it in this service. Don't worry about, you know what this church is going to do? They're going to rejoice with you. They're going to get excited that you got it settled. How about you, church? Somebody that came today, maybe you're a family. Maybe you're a visitor. Maybe you're somebody that's come here for years. But you don't got it settled, that you know for sure that heaven's your home. Don't let today pass without that. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, the musicians are on their way. They're coming to the stage. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you stand to your feet? If you're like that today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, don't leave here today without him. Don't leave this place without knowing 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven. If you're here and you want to pray, you can come and pray. Maybe you're here and you never joined a church, you never been scripturally baptized, but you need to be. Then step out and come. I'll meet you in the front. Whatever your need is, we'll ask you to come and meet us in the front for the birth.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Some have come this morning. Would you bow your heads with me? Would you do this for me? Silently pray this morning for someone that desperately needs to be saved in the building, that they'll come. And then pray for Jeremy Tadino. Pray that God will heal him, that God will lift him up this morning. We're going to sing one more verse as you pray. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you are here and you're not saved, and you know you need to be, this is going to be one more verse. This will be your opportunity to step out and be saved. Brother Burton.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God,
let you be seated this morning.